All right, all right. WTBR 89.7 FM with an all-new special live show of the Throwback Radio Show. I know you guys are used to hearing me at 6 to 8, but we changed it up. We're going from 4 to 5, and we got a special guest in the audience here in the studio with us. And I want to introduce my partner, my homeboy in crime, my DJ 1 and 2 from Somerset Studios, Kevin DeWitt. Can you introduce yourself?
Good evening, everyone. I'm glad to be here. Totally excited as we go forward and talk about some of the things that have happened in the our lives with DJing from Berkshire County, New York City, New Jersey, et cetera. So, Tony, I'll let you set the pace.
All right, all right. So, Kev, you talk about WTBR-FM. And let's do a little history about it, because that's where it really started.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Taconic Radio Station, that was the only station that played black music, R&B, disco. Can you give us a little insight of who started the radio station and some of the DJs that were on there?
Well, I never was on the radio station, but I was aware of some of the DJs. I know one of the pioneers was Mr. Cooper himself. And then Mitchell West, rest in peace. Also, Bobby Bird Hamilton did a little bit of DJing. I was a guest DJ one time with Bobby Bird. I did have my third-class license, so it was illegal. But that's where a lot started, and it was only a couple hours a week, or you know, I'm not sure what the scheduling was, but it was minimal. So we didn't have much to choose from as far as being up on different music. So that was really, if you wanted to learn the new music, other than watching Soul Train, you will listen to WTBR.
Yeah, that's true. I can remember back in the days, it only came out at a certain time, so we all ran to the radio just to be able to hear some of the songs and music that we like. You know, Bobby did a great job, Bobby Bird Hamilton, and then Mitchell, you know, they brought it to a different level, and they were on twice a week, and you can hear the music that you wouldn't hear on the other station, so... We were great to have that station, and, you know, big shout-out to Mr. Cooper for putting the station together, and I'm glad to see PCTV, you know, kept it going and moved on with it. So that was the original starting foundation of DJing in Pittsfield and Berkshire County on WTBR-FM. So, Kev, let's move on down the road a little bit. So in the neighborhood on the west side, shout-out to everybody on the west side, let's talk about the places in the early days that had DJs. And let's start with the Christian Center.
That's right. The Christian Center was a mainstay for us to go and party after we leave the Boys Club dance. We did not have DJs. They had bands. And we would go down there. Usually Mitchell West, I believe, from TBR, would be DJing. And we would go down there and he'd spin the latest cuts that he had. It was hard to get records in Berkshire County. I mean, we had a couple new wave music, I believe Strawberries, but it was very hard. You had to go out of town to get records, especially records of soul.
Yeah, yeah, so true. The Christian Center was essential, right? It was the social media place. It was a gathering place for the neighborhood and for people to gather on the weekends, and we would have dances there, and it used to cost a quarter to get into the Harambee House, you know, and that was in the basement of the Christian Center. And like Kev said, Bobby Bird would be in there DJing, and we'd be in there dancing and having a good time. But I want to throw this over to my boy, Purdog. He might remember this, what we used to do when the slow songs came out, and Bobby would chew us up when that happened. Purd, can you hit us up with that?
Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, my goodness. So... slow music would come on. Tony would sit there and say, we're queuing up the music. Purr, go by the lights. Music came on. Shut the lights off. Pure darkness. And we're on radio, so I can't say some of the things that went on in the dark, but say the least, very, very good time.
Yes, and for you youngsters out there with these new dances, nothing was better than a slow grind. And, you know, it was a single step, and then if you moved on to the advanced double step, you was a bad brother back then in the days. So that brings me to another point. I want to just do a quick shout out to Westside Thoroughbred, who's passed away just recently, and we want to give acknowledgement to his family and what he meant to us. So I'm going to start it off with KD. Give us a little shout out and tell us how you feel about Kurt.
Well, an interesting thing. I was coming home from graduating from college, and Kurt was coming from Seattle, Washington, I believe. And he was a high-class, high-profile dresser and trendsetter. And we didn't have that a lot in Pittsfield, a little bit, but he kind of set the pace. And a great dancer, loved to dance. That's why he got the name Dancer, Curtis Dancer Hamilton. And we just have good times. He had a thing called Thoroughbreds, which he made up, where he would stomp at some of the after parties or any dance floor he was on. And he had no problem just freestyling by himself all alone on the dance floor. Didn't faze him a bit. And he was good at it, you know. So God bless him, and he'll be dearly missed.
Yo, so Marv, let me know what you feel about Curtis and his influence on you.
Curtis was a man of style. Curtis was a man of finesse. He had a great heart. Great heart. Never, I can't say anything bad about the man. He smelled real good. He had probably some of the best colognes that I was there. He'd shake my hand, and then I could sniff his cologne, and guess what? I might want to splash it on my face a little bit. So
great flannel.
It's a man that will be sorely missed. To the Hamilton family, you know what? Our prayers and blessings are with y'all. And there's nothing more to say. Kev wrapped it up with the Thoroughbreds. He'd get us pumped up, riled up. Us down there, the Riverside Beat. I think we probably could have tore the Riverside down with the stomping that Curtis had us doing. So, T, your thoughts on Curtis?
Curtis was Mr. Suave, Mr. Debonair. I mean, the brother could dress. He would wear a tuxedo. And like Marv said, the brother always smelled good. So if you happen to be going out and you're going to the Riverside and you didn't have enough cologne on and you needed a little something, you go dap up Curtis and you'd walk inside and you'd be smelling nice in the ladies.
Yeah, man.
But he was definitely one of our mentors growing up. And dancing, no one could outdo his spin move. I'm telling you, that spin move Kurt had on the dance floor, I think he learned that from Michael Jackson. It was so smooth and effortlessly. And he also did that on the basketball court. But that's another song for another story. So let's continue back with the early days. So we talked about the Christian Center. Let's move over to another place that was well-known and well-famous for parties on the West Side. And let's talk about the Riverside Cafe.
Mm-mm.
Kev, bring us to the Riverside.
Well, there was a small little venue right there in Columbus and Dewey Ave. But it was the mainstay. It was the community center and bar of our community in Pittsfield. It had also, on the outside of the Riverside, was the world-famous The Bridge, where people would used to hang and just shoot the breeze, as we used to say, and just have a good time. So the Riverside started out with some DJs. I remember Michael White, Friday, and they would just have one turntable. And Michael White would say a few words. Friday was kind of quiet. But they would play every Friday and Saturday night, 10 to 2. And that's how they kind of started out the Riverside. Then it started to transform. I don't know, T, if you want to touch on that or you want me to continue.
Yeah, let me touch on that, and then we can get into how the Riverside elevated its DJ game. So, like Kev said, we used to go to the Riverside, and listen, it was a rite of passage to get to the Riverside. And Kev talked about the famous bridge. On one side, you had the triple OGs, you had the OGs, and on the other side, you had the Young Bucks. And we couldn't go over to the other side until we turned 21. And that's what we called the rite of passage to be able to go into the Riverside Cafe, which always, every weekend, had the bomb party. I mean, fly girls in the place, music pumping, drinks being tipped up. So that was our gateway to the Riverside. And I just want to say this. Friday was on Friday nights. Michael Bounce White was on Saturdays. And then Sundays, let's not forget about this DJ, Albert Splin the Blues Turner. So, yeah, we had the best of the best. Other DJs that spun there was Nick West. And I'm just trying to make sure that we capture everybody because, you know, we are a little up in age. But I want to make sure we highlight all the DJs and what they did in Pittsfield and what they meant to the West Side. So that was the beginning days of the Riverside. Now we're going to get into transforming into the newer Riverside. And this is where the game changed. KD, who went to AIC, was DJing down at AIC, and he brought back a form of DJing to the West Side that changed the whole DJ game. He came in with mixing, two turntables and a mixer, scratching, things that weren't heard of. And this was the early stages of hip-hop. So, Kev, can you give us the run back on your days at AIC? Marv, you got something that you want to add?
I'm just going to say this one thing before Kevin says this. What you see today is not mixing, okay? Kevin's going to tell you, Tony's going to tell you what mixing is all about, digging in the crates, carrying crates and everything. That's all I wanted to say. I didn't want to sit there and miss that because what y'all see today is not what was back in the day. So go ahead, T. That's just wanted to say that.
No, that's an important part because those are the true pioneers of DJing. And if you never brought crates or carried crates to a party, then you weren't really a DJ. And I think it's missing. Right now, all you need is a laptop and show up. So, Kev, bring us back to your AIC days and then talk about bringing that to Pittsfield and changing the game for DJs in Berkshire County.
Well, not only did it change the game for DJs, it changed the game for me. And AIC stands for American International College. It's in Springfield, Mass. And I was blessed to be able to go there for 4 years and graduate. And while I was there, I joined the radio station. So I started to learn a few things and tricks of the trades. And we had music being sent in by the recording industry and everything. And back then, there was no Sirius radio. There were no radio stations. And we had a 24-hour radio station, 91.9 WAIC. And it covered all the way from Hartford to Amherst. So that was a pretty good ground. So we kind of set the stage. And we only had, like, maybe one or two rock shows. It was all black. And I learned a lot from them. And as years went by, we had a lot of influx of New Yorkers and people from Boston, New Jersey, Philly, Chicago, et cetera. And they introduced me to mixing. You got to realize that disco was at its height at that time. This is in the late 70s, by the way. Disco was at its height, and mixing was a big thing. And disco, discotheques were very big. So I was infatuated by the talents of mixing. So I started to learn certain things and acquire. And I had been afforded the opportunity to go into New York City and New Jersey and various places with my co-students. And they would take me home with them, and I would actually experience it live. So I got a good taste of it. So everything I learned, I brought back to AIC. And after I graduated AIC, I brought it back to Pittsfield. And as Tony knows, the only way you can get equipment at that time, there was no Amazon or all the stuff that we have today. The only way you can get equipment at that time, you had to go to the 40 Dukes, 42nd Street in New York City. They had all the electronics, mixers, tables, all the tricks, everything. So I saved up some money from a summer job, and I bought my first mixer and my own tables. So now the game's getting ready to change in Pittsfield, you know. So I had speakers from my little home stereo set, and shout out to Taylor Sound. I forgot to laugh about that one. So I incorporated that. And at first, I wasn't well accepted, because my style was different. But as we went on, the people loved it. And I would do a lot of house parties where people would pay a dollar after the Riverside closed to come to the house party. And I had the thing DJ set up, and Marvin helped set up and everything, and Tony. And we just go at it till maybe 6 in the morning. So eventually, as things went on, some of the local people wanted mixers and they wanted stuff. So they would either go down with Tony or go down by themselves, whatever the case might be, and obtain them. One of the people that really got nice equipment were the Moody's. Shout out to Frank Moody and his family. They went out and got some really nice equipment. And somehow they got into the Riverside. You know what I'm saying? Some of the older DJs were, you know, falling to the wayside. They got into the Riverside with the up-to-date turntables, you know what I'm saying, Techniques 1200s, the works. And we would supply them with records. We had a gold mine record place, Rock and Soul Records in New York City, that no one knew about but us. But we turned everybody on, so we weren't selfish. And thus we used to bring music home. So now they would invite me and Tony to get on the turntables at the Riverside. It was just for an hour here, an hour there. You know what I'm saying? It still was the gig. And we used to just do our thing, you know what I mean? And that just brought the scale full circle, you know? And Tony, I'll let you go share some insight from there.
Yeah, Kev, you're absolutely right. It was so much fun to realize that being part of that music scene and changing the game, going down to 42nd Street, 40 Deuce, rocking soul records. Records were 12 inches or Kev, what?
99 cents.
99 cents. So what Kev and I would do was he would buy one and I would buy one. That way you could actually mix the song. And people don't realize everyone gets hyped when the breakdown comes, right? So if you can mix that track right there, that was part of DJing and hip-hopping, right? So the hip-hop DJs, Grandmaster Flash, shout out to him from the Boogie Down, you know, they would mix that up so the MCs could start rapping on it. And that was the early stages of hip-hop. So you got to realize that when Kev brought that back from AIC, it changed the whole DJ game. It basically made people realize that a DJ can do more. He can add life to the party. He can keep you on the dance floor. I mean, we used to dance from 10 o'clock, 10 p.m., to 6 in the morning. The Moody's after parties were legendary. Right? $1 to get in, you could buy a Budweiser or a Miller High Light, little nips for $1, and you could get a chicken sandwich for $2, Kev, with some hot sauce.
Yeah.
Wasn't that? You can't beat that.
Met my wife there.
Shout out to Donna. But listen, that's what it was, community interacting together. So we enjoyed that part of it, and DJing at the Riverside was the highlight of my career. Shout out to Mr. Moorhead for giving us the opportunity to go in there. Kev, you want to say something about Mr. Moorhead and the Riverside and how they helped our careers?
Well, you know, one of the modern sayings now is you stand on business. And that's what he stood. He stood on business. He ran the Riverside, you know what I'm saying, top to bottom, had a full staff. And he was ready for us to innovate. I mean, he made us a little DJ booth. And he was very cooperative and a good man and a good business, highly missed.
Yeah, I remember him saying, hey, Tone, can you and Katie send some music so I can send it out to my son who was going to USC at the time? And we would send him music, and he would pay us. We were getting paid for music. We were DJing. We just wanted people to hear our music. So that, you know, that was the Riverside explosion. And Marv, I know you have some memories of the Riverside and some of the sayings that Michael White would say on the dance floor that would reminate for years and years. Can you just share some of your experiences?
Man. I got a few of them here. First, before I go into that, I'm going to tell you what I see Tony and Kev worked on turntables. I'm going to say this about Kev. The only thing I seen Kevin work more in the turntables were those wingdings that they used to sell. But, yo, Michael White, he had a few of those things. And, you know, if you knew Michael, you knew he had a bass in his voice. He had that good bass that whatever he said sounded good. It was kind of like probably top five with Barry White, that type of bass. So one of the sayings used to be, shake those mahogany hips. I was like, ooh. And then you knew the end of the night was coming. He said, last cut, time to hit your hut. So, you know, but that's just for some of the flavor. And that was the good thing about a lot of the DJs at the Riverside. Everyone had their own distinct flavor. You could sit there and close your eyes and say, I know who's DJing that night, you know. But, you know, like I said, I'm biased, but I know talent when I see it. Tony and Kev came with the game. You know, it took music. It took the West Side to another level. It took the West Side to another level. You know, I used to carry the equipment, you know, and it's kind of funny because back in the day, Tony and Kevin were behind the tables, behind the equipment, doing their thing. For this interview, I'm behind the equipment. So that's all I can really say, T. Go ahead.
Yeah, so let's give some shout-outs to other DJs, the DJs with us, Kev. B-Way Productions was Frank Moody and his crew.
Okay.
You know, his brother Nate was on the turntables with him. Shout-out to Preston Gilliard.
Yes.
Master
definitely.
P.
Yeah,
yo,
Master
yo,
P.
Master P brought it, man.
Master P.
Yeah, you know, shout-out to him. Listen, our boy, who was part of TDK, which was Tony, Darby, and Kevin.
Mm.
Darby Clark,
yeah,
Shaky, right?
Darby.
DJ Shaky,
Darby.
Shaky Bakey on the ones and twos, right?
He worked hard on
his mixing and stuff. So, you know, there was a lot of other DJs that came along from that, you know, that branched off from those trees. I can even remember a neighbor that lived down the street. Stockdale on the ones and twos, right?
All right.
So, I mean, you know, it was nice to see the different DJs and their creativity and bringing it to the West Side and bringing that fun and that energy. Yeah. Kev, is there any DJs I missed? Any DJs you want to shout out?
Jesus, there were so many, and we forgive you. Forgive us if we missed you. But there was a lot of people. Everybody took a shot at Lil Smooth, Rodney Hamilton.
Yeah, Smooth. Yeah.
Bobby Bird used to do his little DJ thing. Uh-huh. There's a few others, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes or slight anyone, but don't remember everything. Getting on an age here.
Yeah, what's his name? Keith Taliaferro was up on the station here.
Yeah. Okay.
Keith, and then what was that dude's name to play ball with us?
I don't remember.
We forget his name, but there was so many other DJs that came through there, and from there, it went on to the younger generation. So my brother DJ Troisky Love, shout out to him. He started DJing, right, because he wanted to be part of that. I remember Tax Caesar on the ones and two. You know, Anthony Powell was nice on the tables, the one and twos. So there's a lot of DJs that just spun off of that and came through. I want to give a shout out to Nate Brown because I know he was listening. He wanted to make sure that the show was on, and he wanted to find out about the history of the DJs from Pittsfield. So, Marv, give a little comment, and then we'll take a quick song break.
Before we take a break, the Holy Spirit just gave me a shout. Let's shout out Keno West.
Yes.
He came up the ranks pretty fast, and maybe still DJing as we talk.
Yeah, I think he's in Chicago. Somewhere
out
there.
So, like I say, we don't purposely slight anyone.
Right.
It's just a memory thing. After this little break, maybe we'll think of some others.
Yeah, I'm gonna just say this. People out there look at people DJing and they think it's easy. It is not easy. I used to be like that. I go down to Tony's house, sit there and say, how hard can this be? Tony's Kevin doing this. It can't be that hard. So Tony let me play on the turntables. The only song that I could mix was Kano, I'm Ready. One day I mixed it for like 45 minutes. Tony said, either change the record or get off the tables. That was the last time I DJed.
Well, with that being said, it's time to go to a nice musical break here. And then we'll come back and we'll tell you more about the current stuff, the DJs we did when we went down to New Jersey and New York City. And then we'll end it up with the current DJ status and where we're at. So right now, listen to a little bit of this Let It Whip by the Dazz Band. We'll be right back. So shout out to them. Also want to give a shout out to 413 T-shirts. Nick, you always hook us up with some nice T-shirts. We got new T-shirts coming for the block party. And let's talk about the block party tomorrow real quick. So it's our fifth annual block party, Westside Riverway Park, from 1 to 6 p.m. You're going to have all kind of vendors on the grill. Got Sam Adams doing what she always does, throwing down. We also got Carol Ivy from Price Memorial Church cooking fajitas. We got ice cream, free ice cream for the kids. We got vendors. We got a raffle for a big screen TV, two bikes, $5 for entry fee. I'm going to let Marv kick a few things and tell us about our feature entertainer. Listen, you got to come out just to hear this woman. Marv.
At 3 o'clock, we have the honor and the opportunity to have the Wanda Houston Band as part of our block party this year. In past years, we've been getting plenty of bands, and it seems like our game has been stepping up. We've had people such as Sample the Cat. We have Pat Chantel. This year, the Wanda Houston Band. We're going to have, there's going to be wiffle ball. We're going to have T-shirts for sale. We got some hot T-shirts coming up, T. Tell them about the hot T-shirts.
Yeah, T-shirts. I mean, the 54th Wall Murals are coming up in June for Juneteenth. But we have pictures of those on T-shirts right now. So help support that cause. And then for Juneteenth, we have They're Not Like Us. And I'm with three dudes that they're not like us. We call ourselves the Kang Crew. For those who don't know, back in the day, everybody had a little crew. And our crew was the Kang Crew from Pittsfield. So let's start talking about our transition, Kev, from Pittsfield to New Jersey. And I can remember the night that we were sitting on the rail overlooking Pittsfield, drinking some blackberry brandy and orange juice. And we both said, it's time to go. It's time to move. And I said, Kev, I'm going to Jersey. And what did you say, Kev?
I said, I might be headed there too.
So, yeah, so we both collectively moved to Jersey. I moved down to Somerset, New Jersey. And Kev moved to Montclair. So it was naturally we gravitated towards New York City. And I want to set the stage for New York City at that time, Kev. It was the beginning stages of hip-hop.
Yes, it was.
And New York was popping. Clubs after clubs. And we could talk about the clubs we went to. And we went to, listen, Kev and I, when we first down there, we hit every club there was. We couldn't get enough of New York City. So, Kev, start with the clubs and your transition from Pittsfield down to DJing down in New Jersey and New York.
Okay. It was phenomenal. I mean, New York City was on fire. When I tell you they were on fire, it was burning up. And one of the things, you hear these stories about Kool Herc and Grandmaster Flash. Me and Tony were there. You know what I'm saying? We've been to various functions that they had. Like he said, we didn't miss a trick. We went to every venue, every club, disco there was to have. We wanted to learn about the DJ. Now we're in the mecca of DJing. You know what I'm saying? So we brought all our skills. Tony had got some equipment, and we put a studio together down in Somerset. I lived about 45 minutes away. And I had this little car. I would fly down there on the weekend after I worked. And we put together a little studio, and we religiously listened to the radio stations. And most of the mixers came on like 2 to 6 in the morning. So we'd take a nap, and then we'd be up all night listening to the until breakfast time. And we just involved in everything. Went to all the different clubs and venues, and they had some clubs. I mean, it was the height of hip-hop. Disco was failing out a little bit, but Soul was big, you know what I'm saying? It was really big. R&B was big, the different clubs. And we had some beautiful clubs. I know one of our favorites, I know it's Marvin's favorite, is is Bentley's. And they probably had the best live DJ I've ever heard in New York City. His name was Kevin Williams. He was from New Jersey. But he DJed at Bentley's. It was on East 40th and in Madison. And because you have a lot of DJs who are studio DJs, a lot of DJs who are kind of club DJs, when they're live, they're not as good as when you hear them on the radio because of some of the antics and tricks that are available. But this dude from Bentley's was the real deal. You know what I'm saying? Two hands, two tables, and it was a wrap. And the sound system was tremendous. And, Marv, why was that one of your favorite clubs?
I ain't going to say too much, Kev. All I'm going to say is I fell in love in Bentley's a lot of times.
Yeah, Bentley's bring back fond memories. DJ Sugar Daddy was his name.
Yes, and DJ name.
Listen, he used to let Kevin and I come into the DJ booth with him. You know, we became partners. He saw us all the time. We were getting our skills and getting our game from him. And he used to do a thing. Now they're doing it as he used to bypass the bass. And you would all you would hear is the tweeters. Now it's part of your sets on your controllers. If you wanted to take the treble out and just have the bass. But Kevin was doing that back in the 80s. And that's why I'm saying DJing has come a long way, but it started from these grassroots DJs. And I want to give a shout out to some of these other DJs. We saw DJ Starsky Love up in the Bronx.
Yeah. Boogie
Man,
down.
Boogie down. No joke. Listen, DJing to a different level, man. Jelly Bean Benitez.
That's right.
In the Funhouse. Kev, tell us a story about Jelly Bean in the Funhouse.
For those who don't know, the legendary Jelly Bean Benitez is about 5'3". So he's very tiny. So we're at the Funhouse, and we're standing outside the DJ booth, as we normally do, seeing what's going on. So we see this little teeny door. I don't know how me and Tony fit through it, you know what I'm saying? We got up in there, and there was no usually there's security around. There's no security. That's seen over in the DJ booth with Jelly Bean, with the world-famous Jelly Bean. And we're just looking over the crowd, everything. He's like, you don't know what to do. He's a little dude. So you don't know what to do. And finally, he just, hey, guys, just hang out, cool, everything. And, we had a good time. But that's just one of the experiences. We had many more. T, maybe you want to enlighten.
Yeah, for those who don't know how famous Jelly Bean was, he was the first producer for Madonna.
Mm.
So Madonna was hanging out with us at the Funhouse. Hanging out with Jelly Bean, and we just happened to be, like Kev said, we saw this door, we opened up the door, he welcomed us in, he didn't call security, he hung out, and we became friends. So every time we went to the Funhouse, we had a way in. One time we were in there, and we came in with Wayne Stockton, and he was looking for us. And if you know what the Funhouse used to look like, they had this big picture of a clown, and the mouth was where the DJ booth was. And Wayne kept looking around for us. Then he finally saw us in the DJ booth, and he wanted to get in, and he couldn't get in. So we had some classic times back there with the DJs. And let's go to Jersey a little bit, Kev. Let's talk about Marv, you got some. I know you got some New York stories.
I want to do this. I want to have a 30-second battle between the two of you. I'm going to start with Kevin.
Wow.
I want you guys to name each New York club that y'all been at. So you already started, Kevin, with Bentley. So Bentley, go ahead, T.
Silver Shadow.
Limelight.
Latin Quarter.
Uniques.
Bonds International.
Silver Shadow.
Listen, we can go on for a while.
That's Paradise, my point. They can go on for all.
Marv, I'm going to give you one. Paradise Garage.
I was going to say, how y'all not have the Paradise Garage in that bad boy?
Listen, every club that was hitting in New York City, Kevin and I made it a point to go there and establish friendship with the DJs. We used to just hang out, watch the DJs, and after a while, they become accustomed to you, and you get into that DJ circle. And I think that helped my DJ and Kevin's DJ. Listen, let's not forget about the DJs on the radio, Kev.
Oh, man.
Man, let's talk about those guys for a minute. Timmy Regisford.
Tony Humphries.
Sergio Montalbán.
Berlin Mob. Bob.
Mr. Magic.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. We're battling here.
Listen, the history is that deep, I mean,
yeah.
It was so much fun. And the clubs in the area, we went to the Elks Club.
Oh.
Right? We saw some great DJs at the local Elks Club.
DJ Hollywood.
DJ Hollywood was amazing.
Not the Bronx Hollywood. This is New Jersey's Hollywood.
This is Jersey's Hollywood. Let's not get confused.
We've seen him, too.
Yeah. But they were nice DJs, man.
Yeah. You were getting ready to start off, and I interrupted you. Talk about those Jersey clubs. Talk about those Jersey clubs.
Oh, the Jersey clubs were... We had Mingles. Mingles, and this was funny. Kevin and I got introduced to this DJ, DJ Frankie. He was an Italian guy, you know, family hooked up with the mob up in New York, in Newark, you know, Soprano country. And he hooked us up, and he would bring us down to Mingles and hang out with him. And as we were down there, they would have shows. And they had Evelyn Thompson on there, and she was singing High Energy. And Kev said, T, watch this. So Kev was dancing, and he reached up, and she brought Kev up on the stage with him. And he was dancing with Evelyn Thomas. Ooh. Kev, talk about that a little bit in the experience, bro.
I had the chance to dance with Lisa and various other artists. But she had, I was taunting her, I'm right in front of the stage, and she said, can I come up? So I get up there, and she let me sing the hook part, which is, your love is lifting me. But she was tutoring me. She goes, all right, go down. And we were doing the rock together. She said, go down. I can only go so low now. And then we came back up, and it was just amazing. And like, T was like, I can't believe you went up there. Like, hey, we got to do what we got to do,
That's what I'm talking about with DJing and hanging out with certain people. And that was the fun of it. Other clubs in Jersey that we went to Zanzibar's in Newark. Ooh. Dude, let's talk about it. Club 88 in Newark. Now, all these clubs, and you guys got to remember, it was a network because it wasn't mainstream. Hip hop was not mainstream at the time. So we were going to places and being around new artists, new rappers. All of a sudden, the rappers started coming out. And Kev can tell you, we was at every rap concert. They used to have rap concerts. Kev, let's talk about this. The rap concerts at Livingston Gym in Rutgers.
Rutgers, yes, yeah. It's still, to this day, there's a little DJ. I never know what his name was, but he was rocking the tables. I mean, we had everybody from Naughty by Nature, Queen Latifah, because they're from Jersey, and various others. But the hip hop, we've seen the whole hip hop evolve, right down to the. I'm gonna tell you something. The Bronx, New York was dangerous back then too. You had to watch your step. I mean, we used to be in the Bronx, and everything burnt down, and you know what I'm saying. But we had good chaperones.
Yeah, and some of the artists that were coming along during that time, KRS-One, I mean, they used to just rock out in the park.
Yeah.
We used to just go to the parks. And when they said they had block parties, they were true block parties.
Yeah.
The radio station would host them, and everybody would be out there, and it would be love for hip-hop. And the artists that we saw develop, we saw Run DMC come to Livingston Gym and turn it out with Jam Master J. The bill was Grandmaster Flash, Run DMC, Houdini, and the Fat Boys. Kev, remember seeing Prince Marky D out in the limousine?
Yeah. it was unforgettable, Tony. Some of the things. I mean, we used to go to Bambaataa party at River Park Towers. That's Africa Bambaataa. And I want to tell you this one time. We used to get little gigs once in a while to DJ certain places. So a friend of mine was from the Bronx. And he had a friend that had a birthday party. Remember this, T?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so me and T DJed that party. And it was one of the best, parties we ever DJed. It was a small, almost like a house party. You know what I'm saying? Right somewhere in the Bronx. And it was, they loved us. And we gave it our all. We used all our skills, you know what I mean? And it was really, you remember that, T?
Yeah, Kevin. People don't remember the basement parties with the blue lights, man. Those were special. People would cook food, and you would go there, and you'd party, and you'd drink, and you'd have a great time. And what I liked about that party was that people really appreciated our DJing skills.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that, it makes you feel accomplished when you're in New York. We was in the Bronx, right? And so that's where we got that part of it from, Jersey. Listening to the music and the mixes every night on the weekends. And Sunday, they'd have the afternoon mix for 2 hours. And we would cook. And Marv, you probably received a lot of those tapes we recorded. We used to just record those mixes just to hear them back.
I was going to just ask you guys that. As you guys sit there, you talk about the evolution of how y'all came from Pittsfield and how y'all got the music and started to mix in and everything. I know there is a million requests for tapes and CDs.
I don't have one.
And so I wanted to sit there and just ask y'all, a good fair guess estimate, how many requests? Would you say 10,000 requests? Kevin, make me a tape. Tony, make me a tape. Kevin, get me some music. Tony, get me some music. Because it wasn't limited to what y'all did, but y'all, yo, back in the day, again, for y'all who don't know, we had cassettes. We had to hit play and record at the same time. So these guys would bless me with these tapes, you know. They stayed up until 6 in the morning. While they were down in Jersey, I was in Boston, so clubs were closing at 2 o'clock up there. So while they're listening to music, I'm sleeping in bed. But they would give me this music. They'd bless me with it. Thank you, fellas. How much music have y'all actually given out?
This is tremendous amounts. And I'm a little older than you two, so I go back to 8-tracks. But I couldn't put a number on it. I don't have one to my possession right now. I would love to hear just some of the old mixes, some of the old times, and just reminisce. But things move on, and we look toward the future.
Okay. Tone, your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still getting requests, right? Because I'm still DJing, and people still. And now I say, hey, listen, you can listen to my podcast every Friday between 6 and 8 on WTBR-FM. And then if you can't catch it on that time, you can go back and listen to the podcast at any time you want. So, you know, since we're doing this, Marv, let's give away some T-shirts. So, you know, hit us with a Pittsfield hip-hop question to see who remembers back in the day this artist.
Okay. Oh, the question. That's on me. There was an artist that would come to Pittsfield, come from New York.
He would
come to, for y'all who know, remember the market. We talked about the Riverside. The market was another place where people would spin as well. So let's give away 3 T-shirts?
Yeah.
We're going to choose you by random. 3 people. Tell us the name of that hip-hop artist that came to Pittsfield and would rock the house.
And he used to also, Kev, you remember this when we used to DJ at Club Burke. That was the first legitimate club I think I DJed at. And shout out to Ronnie Berkeley for allowing Kevin and me to get in there. And he wanted, it was a new club. It was a step up from the Riverside, not downgrading the Riverside. But it was a really official club. It had a dance floor and a DJ booth. And he asked Kevin and I to come in there, and we rocked the house. And we did fashion shows there. I mean, we did a lot of stuff at Club Burke. So, yeah. Kev, just give us a little insight about Club Burke and the different DJs and different styles that came out of that Club Burke era.
Well, what was nice about Club Burke was it was still in the neighborhood, and it was a little touch classier. No slight on the Riverside. A little touch classier, little lounge tables and sofas and what have you. And it had a little more room. So that was good. Also, if you remember, Tony, it became the Ashima Club.
Yes.
When Joe Ashima took it over. And again, he afforded us the opportunity to DJ there, as we did with Club Burke. And it was a good feeling. I mean, it was a nice place. They had a couple, like, prom parties there, and you could do a little more. But it's nothing like the Riverside, though.
No, no.
Don't get it twisted.
For the real party, you go to the side.
Yeah.
I got a few shout-outs. People hit me up on Facebook Live. Jimmy from Aaron's. Yo, what's up, Jimmy Neutron? We see you out there.
We'll see you in a couple minutes, Jimmy.
Yeah, we'll be by to see you. Tan Man. And for those who don't know, that's Brett Cookie Logan, right? So we give shout-outs to people and, you know, for checking in and doing this. So we got about 15 minutes left. So let's talk about the new era and what's going on. So, Kev, I'm going to give a couple shout-outs to the DJs that I know that are up here that are doing the thing and keeping the legend moving on. I'm going to start out with Jimmy Hall, Dubfly.
Yeah.
Give a shout-out to Jimmy, and then, you know, give me some other DJs that are up here.
Just Jimmy Hall plays the type of music I like. It's the good old New York style, New Jersey, Zanzibars, Paradise Garage, Bentley's type of music. So shout-out to him. Let's not forget Dave Flav.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Harlem DJ who has migrated up here, and we're blessed with his talents every once in a while. I don't know what name JR goes by. Is it just JR? Or?
Yeah, JR. Shout-outs to Dave Flavor, because if you're on the turntables, Dave will grab the mic and, oh, yeah, and hype the party right? Dave definitely has got to be the master of ceremonies at any of the parties, and he brings it to a different level.
That's correct.
Marv, you know this DJ. We had him DJ for us a couple of times. DJ Young Champ. What do you think about Young Champ?
I'm going to say this. Young Champ has come through for us a few times. We had a party one time, and we had an unfortunate incident with a DJ, and you know what? We called Champ up. He stepped up. He did the party. So, yo, shout out to my man. He does not want to be called Young Champ anymore, just DJ Champ. So I guess he grew up.
Yeah, I guess he grew up.
We love you, Dave.
Yeah, we love you, Dave.
He has a lot of availability. He's everywhere. I mean, he's always available. A lot of venues I go to, I see him all the time, and he takes his crap seriously. And we ain't got that many people you can rely on. If you need a DJ, you can call Champ.
Yeah. Yes. You know, a couple other DJs I want to give shout-outs to. Carlton Rose. Yeah. I heard he's really nice. Mm-hmm. Let's give a shout-out to, Seneca. Seneca. How could we forget?
Oh, Seneca.
You know, so there are some DJs. And listen, we don't miss, you know, if we miss you, let us know. Shout us out.
I just one last, DJ Wise. Oh. Who's my barber?
Yes.
At Mr. Barber's. He is one of the top-notch DJs. He's not available like he used to be.
Right.
But he can be reached for the right price.
DJ Hoodstar as well.
Oh, yes. Hoodstar. DJ.
That's JR, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And what about DJ Ali Real?
Ali Real.
Yo, he's did a lot of our block parties, right? Let's talk about the block parties real quick.
He now grew us. Now he's down in Holyoke now. So
yeah, you know, he's blowing up. He's doing his thing. But remember this weekend, Saturday, Westside Riverway Park is our fifth annual block party featuring Wanda Houston. Yeah. Bring a lawn chair. Bring an appetite. Bring some money for T-shirts. Bring your ears for listening for some music. Got our wall mural. Mike Cardi's doing our wall. Listen, we got a lot of things going on. Please come out and show out, all right? We're about 8 minutes left to go, and I just want to talk about the current status. And part of this show is to get my boy Kevy back in the grind and back on the turntables.
No pressure, Kev.
No pressure, you know, just casual talk. But I want to talk about, after Kev left, I made my way down to North Carolina and went to Charlotte. And Kev, you know how we always talked about going big and getting a residency and really being, you know, taking that DJ to another level. And that's what I was able to do with my partner from New Brunswick, DJ Noogie, which one of the nicest DJs I know.
Noogie's nice.
And so we went to Charlotte, and we started out doing cowboy watch parties. And for those who don't know, we basically DJ'd while the game was going on, at halftime, before the game, and after the game. And we took that, we did that for free for 2 to 3 weeks. After the impact that we had, there was nobody at the press box, zero people, 4 to 5 people. And by the time we did it, our third week, we probably had 200 people. At the height, I would say there was anywhere from 600 to 700 people. And if you weren't there by 1 o'clock, you couldn't get in there. So we went from making no money to making $1,000 on a Sunday DJing at the press box. And that was the That's the highest level of DJing I ever did. Listen, we DJed with AI, Cam Newton, Vern Maxwell, celebrities, Rick Ross, people from Atlanta Housewives. I mean, if you was in Atlanta, I mean, I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself. If you was in Charlotte during that time, you missed a golden opportunity. Marv, I think you went to a couple. You want to share some of your stories?
Yeah, let me share you this one story. Tony would tell me about these parties. Now I'm like, stop it. I'm Mr. Pessimistic. I can't believe this. I go down. This is in Atlanta. Go to one of these watch parties. I'm helping Tony set up and everything. Just like back in the day, I'm always helping set up, carrying crates. So we get there. 1 o'clock party starts. Buses are coming in from California, Texas, North Carolina, Connecticut. Yo, this party had to be about an easy 1,000 people. Easy 1,000. DJing for over 1,000 people. I'm like, this is nuts. This is crazy. The party was so hype. The bus drivers who were driving the bus were out in the middle of the floor dancing. Crazy, crazy, crazy. The Cowboys were playing the Falcons the next day. T and I go to the game the next day. We're running up on a couple people. So we say, hey, how you doing? These three women came up to me and said, yo, we went to this hype party yesterday. Yo, the DJ was on time. Ba, 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 ba. I said, where was this party at? And the name of the place escapes me, but it was the party that Tony was DJing. So sure enough, I just said, yo, you want to meet that DJ that had that place hype? There he is. You remember that, T?
Yeah, that was a experience of a lifetime. The club was absolutely amazing. And when I booked it, you know, they booked me, they were like, listen, man, we're going to have over 1,000 people. Have you ever DJed for that many people? And I said, yeah, because I had the experience doing it in Charlotte. And sure enough, it was buses and buses of Cowboy fans. And I'll tell you this, Marv and I both said, we thought we were Cowboy fans, but after that day, we realized we are not Cowboy fans. We are not worthy.
We were not worthy. We were not worthy. Yo, you had a dude there. He had a tattoo of Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin all over the top of his body. I was like, I gotta, I might have to hand my card in.
Yeah. So that was, you know, to the highest level of DJing. And I've sort of stepped back a little bit and just do the radio now. But, you know, my wish and hope is that Kevin can get back and we can start doing some parties around here and look forward to Kevin returning back in. So, Kev, just give us a little update of what you want to do and where you want to go from here.
Well, I'd be excited to get back into the mix, so to speak, pun intended. Just to get back in would be great. I mean, I have the time. I'm retired. And plus, I'd like to help out any up-and-coming DJs that are out there who want to be part of the craft. I would be more than happy to mentor them and just encourage them and show them some of the ropes of some of the old school stuff. And they probably know all the new school stuff, but some of it derived from small beginnings. So I just want to thank you. I want to thank Westside Legends for the opportunity to come here and just share. There's nothing I like more than talking about DJing except DJing. So I like the fact that they're going to try and get me back into the fray. And I'm excited about it. So just wanted to thank you. My time is up. I thank you for yours. Remember, God loves you, and I love you, too.
Yeah, that's a nice way to end it, Kev. We got about 3 minutes left. Let's remember, we're giving away 3 T-shirts for the three people that can name the artist, the hip-hop artist that came in and rocked. And I'll give you a hint. He's from the Boogie Down.
Lambert Projects.
So on the way out, let's give a few shout outs. I'm going to go with, you know, Tommy Purry for checking in, Jimmy Neutron, Nate Brown, and I'm going to end with this. Thoroughbreds for Life. Curtis Hamilton, yeah. He meant a lot to us as our mentor, as our leader, and we're sorry you're not here anymore. Marv, take us home, bruh.
Okay, as y'all see, this is the first show that we've done on the air here. We hope to do this again. We hope to do many, many more of these versatile topics. You know, if you guys have any ideas, any topics you might want to talk about, get at us, because we're looking to do this. We're looking, you know, hopefully during football season, we're going to have a couple of these football shows. So, you know, it's going to be, you think Tony killed it at these football parties? We're going to have a football party right here. And I don't know if TBR allows it, but we're Cowboy fans, so it will be Cowboy-centric. And I think, you know, again, we thank our sponsors, 413 T-Shirts, Greylock Federal Credit Union. As we're sitting here to wrap up, we just want to say thank you for hanging out. Thank you, Kevin, for hanging out with us as well. Greg and yo, we love you. And, yo, we're just excited to see you get back in the fray because, yo, you got talent, man, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, Marv, let's hit him with a little music, man, on our way out.
All right.
A classic song that we love by Cheryl Lynn.
Go ahead.
Yeah. WTBR FM every Friday. Get ready for the Throwback Master Mix Show from 6 to 8 tonight.
Got to be real.
Yeah.
Got to